The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Finally here, Remzo. Are you excited? I'm excited. It's motherfucking spooky season.
Spooktober, right. Motherfuckers.
I feel like
the fraggers, because we can't curse on YouTube. My bad.
I do feel like we can. I mean, we can. It's not.
We can. It's just highly
like
frowned
it.
Upon.
The algorithm doesn't like it, but we don't mind it, so it's all good. I do feel like a little bit of a. But you know what? Who cares? I'm a white man, and I drink the occasional pumpkin spice latte, so I don't care. I'm embracing the whole fucking thing. Bring it, whatever. The point is, this is the month where we like to take a little time out from our regularly scheduled programming and look at some, well, I want to say some spookier type horror stories. The one we're going to look at today, well, I'll let the listener and the viewer, if you're watching on YouTube, be the judge of how scary it is, but it certainly is a Halloween themed episode, issue, all of it.
Right? Issue, episode.
Before we go any further, Remzo, have you ever dressed as a superhero for Halloween?
I have. I dressed up as Batman Beyond when I was in fifth grade. I was also Bane. I went through like a super
wait. Why did you choose Batman Beyond and not Batman?
Because Batman was sold out, so I got Batman Beyond.
The poor kids go with Batman Beyond.
Yeah, basically. The mask, like you couldn't see through the eye holes either, so I didn't even wear the mask. So I just looked like random kid.
When you get your costumes at Goodwill, that's what you're going to end up with. And I'm not judging because I've been there. All right.
Hey, whatever works. When I was a freshman in college, I went through a weightlifter phase, so I was already mostly
bald. How long was that? 2 weeks.
So I got a Bane.
Talk about scary! A super jacked like roided out Remzo is a very frightening.
I'll try and find the photo. I've got the photo somewhere on my phone from 2013's Halloween. I was at Mary Military Institute, and I was broke as shit. But I had a bald head and I was jacked. So I got a Bane mask from Party City, and I had a friend named Mark Bane who gave me his name tag.
Named Mark Bane?
His name was Mark Bane. So I had one of my army jackets that looked kind of like the flirt.
Was he born
one.
In 1992 and named out, and his last name was named after
I think Batman it was Scottish or something. All right. But I went ahead and had like my Greenfield jacket. So I put the Bane name tag on there, and all you needed was your fatigues and some combat boots. So I was Bane for Halloween, and I won their costume contest against people that actually put effort.
All right. Yeah. Very impressive. I myself always used to gravitate towards the more scarier Halloween characters. I was Freddy once. I was Jason. You know, I was more of the murderous mindset when it came to my costume.
So no superheroes? Not ever?
Not really. No. I don't know why. I always went for the scary stuff. Maybe that says some things about me, but nonetheless, Remzo, another question. Are you recovered from the draft yet? Because I'm still reeling, to be honest.
I'm a little pissed off because that Deacon Frost pick, let's just go ahead and peel off this Band-Aid. You know what?
Let's do a little post-show here.
It's not that I necessarily wanted him, but I needed to secure a vampire. And people were like, you could have had Blade. I could have had Blade. But I needed somebody to be a villain. And I know that we have that public domain rule.
But were you afraid that someone else was going to draft Deacon Frost? That's the real question. I don't question having him on your roster. What I would question is the value level. That's what the drafts are all about. It's all about
getting
value.
Listen, Mark, people want a leader. I consider myself the George Bush of the show. People want to go for hearts and minds. Listen, I'm all dick and balls, all right? So sometimes you just got to go for, you know, you just got to get it done to get it done. You know what I'm saying? You just got to like reach for the stars and grab your Deacon Frost.
You just shock and awe this draft.
Shock and awe the hell out of it. And I'm going to just stay on this for at least 10 years before I remotely say it was a bad idea.
All right. Well, it seemed like you were already in the spooky mood there, drafting a somewhat spooky team. And if you don't know what we're talking about, go back to the last episode in your podcast feed or on YouTube and check out the SBC Comics Draft, where we did the nerdiest possible thing you could do and combined fantasy sports drafts, only took the only non-nerdy thing out of it, which is sports, and replaced it with comics. So that was a very fun experiment. We will be following up on that show. If you go check out our teams, you can sort of fantasy create your own comic company in your minds, and then see what we will do come November once we get through spooky season. But like I said, it's time for a little spooktacular. And today we're going to be looking at an episode that I'm going to tell you about after. No, I'm going to plug it. I'm going to save that for the end. Let's just get into the show. We don't do production meetings. We produce on the fly. So let's get into our episode today and our issue.
We haven't even had our coffee yet.
We haven't even had our coffee. No, oh my God, we have not had our coffee. I actually have not had my coffee today, which
me
is
either.
Why.
I had a protein shake, which is far from a coffee.
All right. Well, as soon as I finish this show, I am going to, even though it's a little late in the day for this, I don't care. I'm going to go brew myself in my French press a fine cup of Fox and Sons coffee. The Den Blend Dark is the one that I always stick with. But I have tried a few of the other, I think it was the Tanzanian pea berry?
Tanzania pea berry.
Yeah, did you try that one?
I like that one. That's my wife's favorite. Mine is usually the Brazilian honey prep. Mm. You don't have what I like about these is you don't have to have any creamer. We were getting groceries the other day because we've been gone for a couple of weeks. And for the first time in a while, we were just like, you know, we haven't bought creamer in months now that we realize it. And it's all because this stuff is just so naturally rich. Like, you don't need it. Other coffees are bland. Other coffees are burnt. The guy that he sources his beans from actually knows how to roast them, knows how to cure them and everything. So, I mean, you're dealing with, like, the top-notch stuff here, people.
Absolutely. Well, luckily, we are not sponsored by Creamer, because if we were, we would have lost that sponsorship. But we are sponsored by the fine beans sourced by our friend Stephen Fox at Fox & Sons Coffee, foxandsons.com, foxandsons.com. It's the N, it's not the and, it's not the ampersand, it's the N, foxandsons.com. And because you're our friends and we're your friends and we're all a big happy family together, we've secured you a little discount, 15% off your order if you use that discount code Second Print Pod. I almost said the other discount code because I'm moonlighting here with the sponsorship, but we don't need to go into that. But what we will now go into is today's discussion about a Halloween themed issue of, what is this issue, Remzo? I'm actually asking because I don't have it pulled up in front of me. Oh, here it is. It's an issue of DC Comics Presents from the Silver Age. Technically still the Silver Age in 1978, although I'd say we're pretty much on the tail
it's
end.
Pretty
of the
borderline,
Age.
Yeah.
It's quite borderline. Is there a technical cutoff? I mean, I'd say the 80s were definitely now in the modern age. So
I think it was like 82 at that point. So the Golden Age goes from 1937 to about 1960, and then the Silver Age is from 1960 to about 1982.
Okay. Well, regardless of the year, I can tell you this book feels very, very, very Silver Age. So this is DC Comics Presents issue number 53 from January of 1979. And right smack on the cover is, it says DC Comics Presents Superman in the House of Mystery, and
dun, dun, dun.
There is a familiar face on the cover here, other than Superman and other than, you know, the werewolf, kind of mini versions of Frankenstein, the werewolf. We'll get into all that later, but there's someone that I didn't expect to see in this issue because I didn't realize that this character in some form had already appeared in DC Comics, and that is the first murderer himself, Kane, who I knew had been in DC Comics via Sandman. I thought Neil Gaiman, in my mind, had brought this character into comic book form. That is not the case, because this is not just some Kane. I mean, this is clearly the same exact Kane that later appears in the Sandman comic. What did I know? And I'm supposed to be the expert here.
You know, sometimes you get characters who are, quote, the same, but they're really not. Like, there was a Thor in
this one seems more sort of silly and a little less murderous.
Yeah, like did you know there was a Thor in Marvel before Thor? Like, there was. There were a whole bunch of people. There was Fing Fang Foom. He's one of the Golden Age monsters that gets brought back later and given a completely different thing. So it's not uncommon to get a character from the Gold or Silver Age who has the same name and likeness as a current character, but they're basically non-canon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the way this, he does seem like a very sort of, I guess, out of canon character. You might even imagine this story taking place out of canon. It really just depends on how you, on where you want to place something that we'll see is so damn silly inside your own head canon. But we're going to start off this story. This story is narrated and hosted, so to speak, by Kane, which is really interesting. I mean, obviously the way that Neil Gaiman used this character is very, very, very different in the Sandman series, but it is visually the exact same character. I mean, they did not recreate or reimagine the Kane character. They used the exact same Kane character that had been in DC Comics. It turns out his first appearance was in 1968 in the House of Mystery number 175. Oh, this is interesting. This actually is very interesting. This is live research, live facts.
We do his it live, folks.
His appearance was modeled on writer Len Wein, who went on to create the Swamp Thing.
Is that a compliment or is that an insult if you make him the bad guy?
It all depends on your full. He's not really a bad guy here. Here he's just a nice little sort of narrating storyteller who happens to be the first murderer in the history of the world.
Take it however you want, folks. Right, just like Fox and Sons Coffee.
We're going to let Mr. Kane guide us right through the story. So if you want to follow along again, this is DC Comics Presents number 53. And if you do have the DC Comics app, this is on there. So that would be the way to follow along. But jumping right in, as I said, this story is narrated by Kane, who says, "Startling salutations, superfans. Kane, your..." This is my Kane, I guess. "Kane, your humble host here with a tale of magical mischief. No, you haven't picked up the wrong comic." Now, this is the kind of thing that was definitely a lot more common in the Silver Age. The just blatant breaking of the fourth wall, not even just by side narration type characters like this, but you would see mainstream characters like Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, pretty much constantly referencing the fact that they're in their own comics. And, you know, this is something that we rightfully, because it was done horribly, gave a lot of shit to the She-Hulk show for because of the way it was done. But as far as just the trope itself, it is definitely a trope that has been around comics probably since its inception.
Oh, I mean, I remember Mr. Mixic Spidlick, the imp from the nth dimension, doing this all the time. And I was like, is it just him? But no, it goes back. It was definitely more prominent in the Silver Age. I feel like Golden Age didn't do it much. And these days, it's very much for a specific corner of comics. You only get certain characters that can even pull off the type of behavior.
Yes. Well, Kane is hanging out in a tree, and he is getting us prepared for a night when the Earth's greatest superhero may not be safe. He says, "Listen closely." As DC Comics presents Superman in the House of Mystery. So he is presenting this comic to us clearly out of space and time, I guess you could say, in relation to the comic itself. This comic is written by Dan Mishkin, drawn by Kurt Swan. All right. And we begin our tale as a young lad is out seemingly pretty damn early on Halloween because it looks like the middle of the day. When you were a young tyke, did you go out during daytime? Like, did your parents make you go out early?
Nah, dog. I went out when the lights were out, when the street lights were on, like a normal person.
Thank you. Okay, so already I don't like this kid or his parents.
He's a nerd.
For making him go out. He's like 8, by the way, and out alone. Completely. I don't know. This kid looks a little young to be out completely alone, by the way.
Well, this is the 70s. I mean, no one's going to kidnap him.
Yeah, we didn't do that back then.
Yeah, that's anyway, a 90s thing.
Little Jimothy, as I'll call him, he knocks on this lady's door and he says the classic line, "Trick or treat." And she says, oh, his name's Ricky. He actually has a name in this. "Oh, my Ricky, what a charming Superman costume you have," this young lady says. And she goes to give him some candy when suddenly little Ricky seemingly transforms into actual Superman. And this lady is, you know, as understandably a little bit shocked. And she says, Ricky, Superman, tell me how. And she says, "Sorry, man, ma'am, I've just spotted an emergency with my supervision. Got to go up and away." And little Ricky, a.k.a. maybe Superman, just flies off.
Before there's nothing weird about that.
Before we get into the rest of the story, what did this frighten you, Remzo?
I was just kind of like, you know, she kind of took it like on the chin. Like she's phased, but like not phased. Like that's a normal occurrence.
And it quickly became dark, by the way. Do you notice it's dark by the time he flies off? Yeah, 4 seconds later, stranger. After it was the middle of the day. And she even says, she's so unfazed. She's like, no one will ever believe this, but I believe, So this lady seems high or something. She's just having a good old time. And I love the writing here, because the caption says, and while giggles of glee echo through a normally, that's Silver Age writing right there. That's how you know we're not in the modern age. You don't get giggles of glee in the modern age. We then turn our attention over to a Halloween party in the Metropolis apartment of reporter Lois Lane. And here, all the Daily Planet people are dressed up as various superheroes. They're dressed up as The Flash, Wonder Woman. Jimmy Olsen is actually Thor, not Marvel Comics Thor. Maybe he's the original Marvel Comics Thor. Thor.
The mythological Norse god.
It looks like Perry White is like some kind of Roman something or other, Roman Emperor. And then Clark Kent is dressed as Green Lantern, which is actually kind of funny. And Lois is some kind of, like, she's Cleopatra. So they're all having a good party, having fun. And Jimmy Olsen is kind of like, you know, Clark is, you forget this because we spend, I feel like, especially in the modern age, most Superman comics, he spends so much time as Superman. They don't seem to focus, at least in the Superman comics that I dip in and out of now, there's not a lot of focus on the Clark Kent character. But back in the day, it was a large focus of the Superman character. You would almost see more time of him being Clark Kent, trying to act like he's not Superman. Now I feel like, in the modern age, that is kind of just glossed over. Do you notice the same thing, Remzo? Or am I making?
I notice the same thing, and it's because, you know, Superman comics were on the decline. They realized that it was less about the subplot; it was more about people just wanting to actually see him destroy shit. So I think a lot of that character development has been passed on. Luckily, we see that in stuff like Lois and Clark or My Adventures of Superman. There's an appetite for it. You know, Derek and I talked about it on Patreon, covering, you know, most of the first season of My Adventures of Superman. It's like he's interesting. If he wasn't interesting, we wouldn't have gotten God knows how many seasons of Smallville. So I think that, you know, people ignore the Clark Kent side to their own peril. But stories like these remind us, yeah, there's a person behind the big blue tights.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's always been the crux of Superman, is that while he has the powers of an alien and the physiology of it, the strength of an alien, of all these things, he is human, and it's his humanity contrasted with that power, which is what makes him a compelling character. But, you know, tell that to my wife. She still doesn't like Superman. Whatever. It's a miracle. We're still together. But Green Lantern, a.k.a. Clark Kent, gets slapped on the back by old sportscaster Steve Lombard, just bullying Clark around. If he had any idea how this guy could snap his neck in 2 seconds, dumps his drink on the ground, doesn't care. He's dressed as Hercules. He's just a big jerk. Lois is helping poor nerdy Clark up when suddenly, who busts through the window? But Superman, a gatecrasher, Superman busts through the window. Perry White is shocked. He says, great Caesar's ghost. A great line. I love, again, a very Silver Age type thing to say. Great Caesar's ghost. He's like, why didn't you tell us you invited Superman, Lois? Because everyone knows that Lois is boinking Superman, right? And she's like, I didn't, Perry. It's such a surprise. Why such a dramatic entrance, Superman? So she thinks it's Superman because Lois is an idiot and still has not figured out that Clark Kent is also Superman.
Yeah, real Pulitzer Prize winner right there.
Meanwhile, the man that we know is actually Superman, Clark Kent, dressed as Green Lantern, is using his he's trying to use his X-ray vision, but he can't see anything through him. He can't really see what's going on here, which is, if you understand Superman's what his powers are ineffective against, is possibly a little clue to where this is going to go. And then Superman is about to just take Lois out of there when suddenly Jimmy Olsen, who I said was dressed up as Thor, he now suddenly has the powers of Thor. His hammer just lights up and like starts shooting lightning. And so then Superman just takes off, or who we think is Superman, takes off with Lois Lane. He's like, I got to get her out of here. There's something going on. And meanwhile, Clark is in this tough position where he's like, you know, I'm Clark Kent. I'm not supposed to be Superman. So I can't just use my powers, but I just saw this fake Superman, who I know is fake Superman, steal my girl. I don't know where they are in their relationship at this point, steal my love interest or whatever it may be. So he has this ingenious idea. He's like, because everyone just saw Jimmy Olsen randomly get powers, he's like, maybe they'll think that happened to me. So he uses heat vision to make his is imitation Green Lantern ring glow. And then Steve Lombard points at it and he's like, hey, your ring's glowing just like Jimmy's. Maybe you have superpowers now. And he's like, yeah, maybe I do. Let me try it. And then he slowly starts to float in the air. And he acts like, I love that he acts like he doesn't know what he's doing. He's like, oh my God, it's kind of working. I guess I could try this. He's like, all right, I'm going to go get Lois. And then he just flies off as Green Lantern.
This is a normal thing that I'm very accustomed to, but you wouldn't know it.
Now, granted, this is a world of superheroes, but I just love how quickly the premise is accepted by everyone. Now, again, they're living in a world where a super alien comes down and fights other aliens that come down. So
every week.
Right. So maybe this is not all that wild and crazy in this world, but it is funny how quickly they just say, oh, yeah, obviously you're going to get superpowers from your fake costume because that just happened to Jimmy Olsen. And we're not questioning any of this because, hey, we're in the DC universe in 1979.
Because comics.
Exactly. We're high as shit. We are drinking Lois's fancy, fancy punch here at the spooktacular party. So now Green Lantern Clark is flying after fake Superman who has Cleopatra Lois with him as they're flying through the night sky of Metropolis. He encounters our Clark as Green Lantern encounters these giant bird creatures. And he seems to have a little bit of trouble with them, which, again, if you know some of the limitations of Superman's powers, which are few and far between, but there are some, you might, again, and he kind of thinks this to himself. He says, luckily, though, magic must have transformed these birds. They have no actual supernatural abilities, so I can still grab them and throw them around and whatnot. But he does reference magic because, as we all know, Superman is really just ineffective against one thing, that is magic. When anything physical or material, he's about the strongest being that there is. But if you're bringing magic in, he's not quite as effective. So that is maybe an indication of what is going on here. So he decides to follow these birds back to where they're going. And so he can try to figure out just what the hell is going on here. What is going on in this weird acid trip? What did Lois put in this punch? Why are random people getting superpowers? Why is there a fake Superman? And it all leads us back to where our journey sort of started in the narration. And that is at the House of Mystery, where we see Kane is... Now, I have a lot of questions here, okay? Kane is here sitting in a chair in this House of Mystery telling a scary story, I guess, to these kids who are all dressed up in various costumes. And this one kid's saying, Kane, do you know any other scary stories? You know, scary stories about the werewolves, vampires, demons. And, you know, he's saying, well, actually, there's one little shocker I've been saving up. And this is when things are getting very meta. But I have a lot of questions here. First of all, who are these kids? Why are they in this house with a much older man, considering he's, you know, one of the first humans, like the fourth, I think. So he's been around a while. And what parents let them go to this house to be told stories by this strange old man modeled on Len Wein? Remzo, thoughts?
I mean, where does God sit in the pantheon of the DC universe?
Can we share these panels on a live screen?
I wish.
Would DC not like it if we do that?
I don't know. I think you got to blur out the speech bubbles or something.
All right. Well, we'll think about it. I mean, we have the technology to do it, but I don't know. Nonetheless, I have a lot of questions about what these kids are doing here.
Would Jesus be a superhero?
I think he's the original superhero.
That type. Like,
are you saying Jesus is an alien, Remzo?
If you want to go that route,
I do. Let's pretend we're not on second. Let's pretend we're on the Mark Clair show. For a minute. Let's get weird and wild.
Okay.
There's
a lot of aliens in the Bible.
There's a lot of stuff. I don't know if they're aliens, but I think they're whatever
they're aliens,
similar to what
us.
People call aliens now.
They're aliens to us. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay.
Back to it.
All right. That's a teaser. Someday Rems and I will hash this out in a longer form podcast.
We should do ayahuasca together. Okay. We need our patrons to fund a trip for us to do ayahuasca.
And
we'll just film
it.
The whole thing.
If you'd like to see Mark and Remzo talk comics on ayahuasca, head over to patreon.com/secondprintpod, where if we get enough support, we just may do that very thing. But you can also treat yourself to a bunch of bonus content, including Remzo rants, including Remzo's current dive into the series Forceworks on the Marvel Unlimited app, my current dive into a couple series, Thunderstrike, which you can't even find on the Marvel Unlimited app. I am doing the podcast Thunderstruck, the world's only and biggest and best Thunderstrike exclusive podcast, as well as I'm doing the Savage Dragon Catch-Up podcast, where I am personally collecting the issues of Savage Dragon that I do not have in my collection, starting with issue, I believe, 64. I've read them all many times in archive form, but I stopped at the physical collection back with number 65, so I'm going to be rebuilding that collection from scratch. Why? Because I don't feel like buying new Savage Dragon comics, but I can still relive the damn old days, can't I, Remzo? So you're
gonna
do that.
There you go, Mark.
All of that and more is available to you as a patron of this program for as little as a measly, and I mean measly, because when we started the show, it was 2020. That $5 is not the same $5 as a few years ago, so it's a better deal than it's ever been today, thanks to inflation.
Joe Biden,
yes. So thanks to Bidenomics, get the best deal possible at patreon.com/secondprintpod. At this point, it's basically free. Remzo, back to you, or back to me, because I was.
So I'm not saying they're mostly aliens, but like,
yeah. I'm just saying that there's some similarities.
There's a lot of convenient moments.
There's glowing lights. There's tails.
Spherical. Vehicles,
orbs, and whatnot,
fire chariots.
Sometimes, people going blind and burning, and this sort of thing.
Transfiguration.
Have you ever seen the X-Files, Remzo?
Yeah, I want to believe.
From the beginning?
No.
Okay, I'm gonna send you because it's too much to watch all 8-7 seasons. But there's an essential episodes list that you could just follow the main plot, because a lot of them are just sort of side stories and fighting other monsters and shit. There's a list of just essential episodes. It's maybe 12 to 15 episodes, and it's all you need. And
I'm down for that.
You'll be in a good spot. Anyway, back to our regularly scheduled
Kane talk. Reading things to children in an abandoned haunted home.
Back to the first murderer in the world reading stories to children. Now he says, he's about to tell this new story, right? That the kids are begging for, because they've had it. They need a scarier story. When who shows up? Remzo, it's the aforementioned. I thought you were going to spoil this. It's the aforementioned magical trickster of the DCU, Superman's biggest little pest, Mr. Mixelplick. That's how I pronounce it. How do you pronounce it?
Mixpidlick.
All right. I like Mixelplick.
Mixpidlick. Mr. Mixpidlick.
Mixzippletick.
No, the real challenge is saying it backwards, because I've never been able to do that.
Remzo, don't spoil the whole plot. Okay. So, Kane, and now Kane, this is funny. I love the whole interaction here. It's like, oh, you. I've seen the last of you when you skipped out on your rent, Mr. Ridiculous. So not only is Kane the first human living in the House of Mystery and, I guess, landlording over it and hosting children's scary story parties, but he's also rents it out sometimes to magical elves who he thinks his name, he calls him Mr. Ridiculous, and this actually does play into the pot. Mixelplick says, no, it's not Mr. Ridiculous. It's Mr. Mixelplick. So we find out that, that Mr. Mixelplick is involved in this whole thing, and just as he's about to, you know, tell some kind of story to these kids, who shows up? It's fake Superman with Lois Lane, Cleopatra Lois Lane, who says, Mistletick. And he says, look, she got my name right. And speaking of getting things right, it's time to turn Superman back into, and then we see Superman transform into little old Ricky. He is just little Ricky now. And he says, oh, I'm myself again. He seems pretty depressed. I'm myself again. Now, Lois is just laying into him. She's like, you mischievous little imp. So you're the one behind this. What are you up to this time? And she's like, oh, just having a little fun on Halloween, just messing around with at your muscle-bound boyfriend's expense. Now, Remzo, before we go further, maybe we should give some backstory. What can you tell me about Mr. Mixibletic?
Mr. Mixpidlick is an imp from the nth dimension. He's an interdimensional being. He can manifest things straight out of his thoughts, alter reality around.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Best sight, taste, and sound. He's one of actually the most.
I'm doing it, Remzo. I'm sharing my screen. There is, why have video if we're not going to add a video element to it now and again? And since we have the technology, there you go. Come at me, DC. This is one panel from DC Comics Presents number 53 from 1979. Here is Mr. McSippletick.
So basically, he's one of the strongest creatures ever, except he's incredibly immature, and he often ends up being the foil of his own machinations. Let's put it that way. The only way to defeat him is to get Mr. McSpidlick to say his name in reverse.
That is true, and that will send him back to the nth dimension until the next time he pops up.
Oh, his hat also has like extremely crazy powers too. Like he has his own powers, but the hat like really manifests them.
We could truly just do entire shows like this in live read format, just going panel through panel. But I don't know. I mean, I have seen other YouTubers. They use panels from comics and they sort of scan through them and show you stuff. So I don't know.
Until we get in trouble.
Let's talk to our lawyers. I'm not going to do this to the whole comic, but it's something to think about. It's something we can definitely do it for patrons because, whatever. So maybe
it looks like one of my barbers.
All right, I'm going to stop the share for now. But you have now seen Mr. McSittleplicht.
He's an untrustworthy midget.
Yeah, so back through the story. And, look, he's just trying to have a good time at the end of the day. But in order to have that good time, he has to turn some children into ghosts. So he turns a few of these children into ghosts. He turns this other kid who's in a werewolf costume into an actual wolf. He turns these kids into goblins, into vampires. He's turning all the kids into scary monsters. Meanwhile, real Superman, who's at some point during this flight has switched into his actual Superman outfit, switched out of the Green Lantern outfit. Real Superman is following the scent of Lois Lane. Isn't that beautiful, Remzo? He knows what his love smells like.
You know, Superman is cool, but sometimes Clark is kind of a dork.
So he flies in and comes into this house of mystery, and he's like, what is going on here? It's 11 o'clock. What happened? The house is talking to him, by the way. I should point out, there's a narration. This is the house speaking to him. He says, you must reach her by, speaking of Lois, you must reach her by midnight, the witching hour, for after the clock strikes 12, she will be lost to you forever. He's like, oh, geez. So he looks through the wall here. He's trying to get around here, and the X-ray vision isn't really looking. Again, an indication of the magic being used by Mr. McSittlebook.
However,
opens this door. He just opens this door like a barbarian instead of seeing through it. Comes in, and oh my God, there's this giant squid monster in here. This scene kind of reminds me of the scene in Star Wars where they're in the trash compactor and they're fighting that sort of like scary squid thing, only it's just Superman.
Trash squid.
And now,
I can't wait for the prequel film about that.
Now Mr. McSittleplick, along with Kane and this kid, are like standing sideways because now we're in a magic sort of interdimensional type place that he can manipulate. So they're watching Superman try to get through this house of mystery now. So he flies out of this room into another room, but he flies into this room and everything is tilted on a 90-degree angle. So he's all fucked up. He's standing on the floor, which is really the wall, and he's standing sideways, and Superman is just all messed up. And then he notices behind him, coming out of one of the doors, is one of these scary, scary squid things. So finally, he is able to... Mistleplick just turns the lights out altogether just to try to mess with Superman even more. And then I'm going to share another panel, Remzo. This has to be done.
Do it.
All our production meetings and decisions happen live. Here is Superman. Maybe I am going to live broadcast this whole issue. Here is Superman being approached by this sort of ghost monster, and he calls Mr. Bones, by the way. I don't think he's actually calling him the actual Mr. Bones from DC.
I think he's
Comics.
Just being sarcastic because he's being a skeleton.
I think he's just being cutesy with the whole thing. And then look at this. Superman knocks this with Superman strength, by the way, knocks this thing. He says, go rattle your bones somewhere else. Knocks it down. We see Mixoplick turns the lights on, and then Superman is shocked and horrified to find that this skeleton that he just knocked down. He says, great sons, by the way. It's only a kid in a skeleton costume. Oh, my God. How could I have made such a mistake? As Mixoplick is just sitting there laughing to him. I'm not going to keep sharing the whole time, but I'm going
to
experiment.
I was about to say, that was pretty cool. We got to learn the workaround on that.
We're gonna see how it goes. I'm going to do it sparingly, and then we'll see what kind of feedback we get. But it's fun. It adds. I mean, no one just needs to see us talk the whole time.
No.
That's the point of that. So this is we'll start mixing this technology in here a little bit. And now Kane is sort of lambasting him. He's like, all right, Mr. McSittleplick, this is enough. You've gone too far. You're actually like hurting a kid now. And again,
kid looks dead.
He does. And Superman's just like holding this apparently dead kid now. And he's like, listen here, Mr. Mixed Missile System, you've gone too far. And this does play into the plot. Pay attention, my friend. So Mixelplick is getting increasingly frustrated with Kane not being able to pronounce his name, and he keeps correcting him. He says, no, it's Mixelplick. And he says, anyway, and I say it different every time. He says, anyway, Kane, there's nothing to worry about yet. The kid's fine. He's like, all right. And, you know, Superman, and by the way, Superman doesn't see Mixelplick at this point. He's like, he sees him, but he doesn't see him. Mixelplick and Kane and Ricky are like out of time, just sort of watching, out of space and time, watching what's happening. Finally, Superman runs up these
Ricky's friends are not going to believe any of this.
Superman runs up these stairs into a room, and it's an office, but the office is the Daily Planet, apparently. So now he's really confused. He's like, what's going on here? It's the Daily Planet. And what's weird about all this, besides the fact that why is the Daily Planet inside this house of mystery, you think Clark is like, this is why I wonder if Clark is just on acid here. Like, he should know this is not what's supposed to be happening, but he kind of just rolls with it at first, I guess because he's a little bit influenced by the magic of Mixelplick. And he's saying, Lana, wait, well, I don't know what's going on here. And Perry comes in. He's like, hey, there you are, Clark. He's like, I want you to rewrite this story before the deadline. You have 15 seconds to write it. He's like, sure, no problem. This is what Night Terror should have been. This is what DC's – this should have been actually
that,
the Night
that
Terror.
That is something that I have been told far too often in my career.
What, this is what Night Terror should have been, or you should have this in 15 seconds?
I should have this in 15 minutes. I need you to 15 take
seconds. This says 15 seconds.
Yeah, I need you to completely rewrite this thing.
In 15 like, seconds.
15 seconds.
All right, well, and Superman, I guess, is just rolling with the punches here. He's like, all right, no problem.
I'll you want something scary? I might as well just add this.
Sure. While we're doing sidebars of Jesus being an alien.
I sent an email one time that they had spent like 5 hours working on, and right after they told me to send, I got a text from my boss. Like, yeah, can you make some changes to that email? Knowing that I sent it.
Was your boss Perry White?
No, but he was old and white.
Oh, I can't tell you how many newsletters I've sent out that needed corrections. That doesn't matter because it's been sent out. But anyway, that's a whole different story.
The real Night Terrors.
Hire us for your marketing needs. anyway, so as Superman is rewriting the story in 15 seconds, he's thinking, I miss thought balloons, Remzo. I feel like thought balloons are...
Thought balloons have disappeared. Because disappeared, right? Because modern day writers, all
now
they know...
narration.
All they know is fucking exposition. They can't really write that stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, thought balloons are what lets you get the real first person perspective without having to constantly dip into narration and not know who the narrator is or start changing the narrator. And it's just, I can't remember the last time I've seen a thought balloon in a modern comic. I'm sure I have, but decades. It's definitely been fading away. I will say what we will about him. He's on my team. I drafted him. Eric Larson still uses thought balloons. Respect. Okay. I'm gonna give him props no matter when I can, no matter what, because I'm fair and balanced as always. Superman thinking to himself,
jab your kids. Make
why
them
do I get the feeling there's something? I'm not gonna respond to that. He works for me now. He's part of my comic book team. Like, why do I feel like something's off here? Superman's thinking, like, I'm supposed to be somewhere else. And then he's like, oh, Jimmy Olsen, he's my friend. He'll help me figure this out. Hey, Jimmy, what's going on here? And then Jimmy he just ignores him. He's like, oh, he acts like he didn't even hear me. And Perry's like, well, I guess Olsen's still mad at you. He's like, well, mad about what? And Perry's saying, well, that you didn't tell him your secret identity before revealing it to the whole world. And Superman's like, what? My secret identity? He's like, I'm still dressed as Superman. And they're all calling me Clark. Like, what's going on here? He is tripping balls. He doesn't know what's going on. Again, this should have been DC's Night Terrors. Perry says, of course, he still blames you for what happened to Lois. And Superman's like, oh my God, that's right. I'm supposed to be looking for her. And suddenly he remembers why he's here. And he's like, oh, maybe Lois is at her desk. So he goes to her desk. And who's at Lois's desk? Fucking Kane. Kane and Ricky are at the desk, and Superman is freaking out, and he's grabbing Kane. He's like, listen, answer me. Where's Lois? What happened to her? And Kane just says nothing. And little Ricky is saying, like, Kane, why is Superman acting so crazy? And Kane explains, this is the room of secret fears. There's a psychodrama, and I love this. I love this. There is an asterisk next to the word psychodrama, and then there's an editor's note that says a form of therapy in which one improvises situations related to a personal problem. Julie, who I believe is the name.
And people said that comic books were not educational.
Totally. I mean, no joke. I did learn a lot of big words that I did not know from comics. A whole lot of them. It's probably the reason I read real books too. But look, it's not to be laughed at. If your kids are reading comics and that's all they want to read, encourage it. They will learn weird shit. Maybe don't encourage them to listen to this show. I don't know if they're ready for that yet. Fuck it.
We've taught a lot of SAT words by now.
Yes, like psychodrama. Anyway, he says this is playing right in Superman's head, where the things he dreads the most are coming true. So having his identity revealed, having to write an article in 15 seconds, losing Lois, that sort of thing. So he's had enough. Superman picks up Kane, and he's not violent, but he's fucking with him. He's twirling him around. He starts twirling Kane around, and Kane's like, look, Mr. Swizzlesix must have decided that we should be included in it. We shouldn't be in a psychodrama. And Mixleplick appears and says, it's not Swizzlesix, it's Mixleplick. And then we see these like mobster guys show up that I don't know what's going on. He's like, they're like, don't move, Kent. We're going to splatter your friends all over this room. And this is when things are just going off the wall in the psychodrama. He's like, we found out you're Superman. The boys replaced some regular painters and did the walls in here with kryptonite-based paint. And he's like, oh, no, I can feel myself getting weaker. The kryptonite poisoning's killing me, and their bullets are made of kryptonite now. He's like, I'm falling through this space, and now he falls through the floor into a room down below. And look, if this is not horrifying, I don't know what is. Again, DC's Night Terrors take note of how to do horrifying psychodramatic dreams in Superman's mind. He says, what's going on? This whole scene in the Planet newsroom must have been some kind of magically induced dream. But where am I? What's going on? He's in a box. And as he's pushing out of it, he realizes he was inside a coffin. Well, that is scary. But this is no time to dwell on the furnishings. He says, I've only got 5 minutes to find Lois. It's almost midnight. But poof, there's a vampire that pops out of nowhere, goes after Superman. But before he can kill this vampire, he says, oh, wait, what if this is another child just like before? I have to share the panel again. This is my new thing. I don't know why we haven't been doing this the whole time.
A whole new world.
Suppose this is another child who has been magically transformed into a supernatural foe for me to fight. What if that's what happened? Well, he stops.
Please don't stab him.
I was lucky I didn't seriously harm that boy, but I'm afraid to physically vanquish this vampire. How can I? Got it. He's going to beam his solar-powered heat vision on the lamp, which will cause a brief incandescent explosion, which, as we know, vampires don't like light. And look, the vampire is now back. He's now back to a normal little kid in a vampire costume. All right, we're going to keep playing with this. We're going to see how it goes. Let's see if we get better in the algorithm or get more comments or what have you.
Something like that.
Or get sued. A lot of ways.
One or the other.
So now Ricky's celebrating, saying, great work, Superman. And Kane says, well, Big Blue has certainly lives up to his reputation. Now, they have different thought balloons here because they're out of time. Like, Superman doesn't hear them. You know, they are just commenting sort of like, in a Christmas carol or what have you, you know, where they're just sort of watching the events from outside time. Superman notices, oh, my God, it's 11:55. I just got it. So he's just freaking out. So he busts through the ceiling now and just tries to go find Lois through the house, blast through these doors in this really weird room with like some weird S&M, like handcuffs. And what are those things called where you close the person in them with the spikes?
Iron Maiden.
There's an Iron Maiden. He opens a door where he thinks it's Lois's scent, and he sees a skunk. He's like, oh, wait, I was wrong. It wasn't Lois's perfume. It was a skunk, because those things sound similar. And then, bong. Midnight
it's like he's
strikes.
Never smelled that. It's like he's never smelled actual perfume.
I know. Superman is defeated. He is upset. He's like, it's over. It's midnight. I'm screwed. When who shows up and finally shows himself? Mixleplick. He says, ah, oh, that was a corker, Supes. You should have seen the look on your face. And then he says, Mixleplick. And his shock lasts a moment before I'm going to share a panel again. I should just leave it up the whole time.
Fuck it. Let's do it this way.
But you know what? I'm enjoying this.
We're cursing. We're showing
Superman.
License stuff. Let's
doing
do
everything
it.
Wrong. Look at Superman cracking up at this. And then now he's like, have you gone, Kane, have you gone cracker, Superman? What's with the belly laughs? This little nitwit just iced your girlfriend. And he says, no, he didn't, friend. The imp may be an impossible pest, but he never knowingly harmed anyone. This is all just your idea of a humorous prank, wasn't it, Mixleplick? The first of many, Superman. And to wrap this thing up, you know, Superman is not freaked out because Mixleplick has, like, he always causes problems and causes mischief, and sometimes his mischief
he doesn't have, like, ill intent. Like,
exactly.
That's the thing about him.
He has no ill intent in his own mind, right? Like, the things he does are...
Isn't Batmite an imp?
He may be, yeah.
I think he's an imp, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yes, so... you know, he goes too far. He definitely goes too far, and he does mess up people's lives by doing magic and really messes with them, and as you can see. But in his mind, he's just having fun, and he's playing pranks, and he actually really likes Superman, and he thinks he's his best friend. So it's kind of like this sad relationship where he is technically a part of Superman's rogues gallery, but it's actually just because he wants a friend, and the only way that he knows how to show friendship is by being a prank, because he's an impster. He's an imp, and he does pranks. He's a prankster imp, so that's what he is. So it's actually the ultimate compliment to Superman that Mr. Mixelplick would go through all of this just to mess with him, even if it led to a lot of sort of confusion and psychodrama.
Children in comas.
Children in comas, yes, this sort of thing. He says, look, but I'm going to keep playing these pranks unless you send me back to the fifth dimension by tricking me into saying my name backwards, but you're never going to get me to do that because I'm just too smart to be fooled by anyone. So then Ricky goes to Kane on the side, and he whispers to Kane. He says, hey, Kane, I got an idea. So then in the meantime, this is funny. I'm going to share one more panel because I love this line. We're breaking the fourth wall again, friends. Lois Patra busts in to Superman. Thank goodness you got here. Mr. M had me locked in a room with comic book artists chained to their drawing boards. He says, they wanted me to free them, but I couldn't take the responsibility for letting them loose on the world. And then Superman responds, smart move, Lois. Now all we have to do is find a way to get rid of our little rendezvous, our little mischievous friend here. And he says, no way, Snoop Boone. I'm telling you, I'm not leaving this time. All right, I'm gonna stop sharing for real now. That's maybe my favorite part of the whole thing. Like this, and like, I don't even know if DC Comics Presents is supposed to be silly.
It's kind of like a Simpsons Treehouse of Horrors.
Exactly. It's kind of like, here's a little story. You can put it in your canon if you want, but we're just going to do weird shit and we're not going to really worry about it too much. And neither should you. But we still have a problem because even though Mixelplick is a friend in a sense, he's going to keep causing these pranks. Like, cause he will never learn. He'll never know better. And then Kane does what you were trying to do. You want to try it? Kane says, that's right. Old Kultubzim is my buddy, and he's here to say. So he actually says Mixelplick's name backwards. So then Mixelplick says, no, Kane, it's not. Thank you for trying, but it's not Kixelplim. It's, oh no, unfair. You tricked me. And he disappears back to the nth dimension. Now, I don't know what the time limit is on, because every time they trick Mixelplick into saying his name backwards, at some point, he does return again. So maybe if this just sends him back for like 2 weeks, and at some point he can go again. I'm not sure.
It's something like that. But or Superman, basically, it negates his ability to travel between dimensions.
Superman, let's just hope that is the last prank we're going to get here for this Halloween. And Kane says, that reminds me, I still have some treats in the fridge. Anyone for stuffed lizard tails? And that's our last line. Silver Age. The Silver Age, my friends. This is a...
We gotta love this shit.
You just don't see this anymore.
No.
You know what I mean? And yeah, a lot of the... if you go back to our past Octobers, we usually do actually look at some horror, more horror, and maybe we will later in the month, at some more horror-type actual comics, like a Swamp Thing or a Hellboy or what have you, but... When I was actually, you know what I did here? I went to the DC app and just typed in Halloween, and I just wanted to see what came up. And there was some, obviously the Long Halloween came up, but that's a 12-issue series that I wasn't, you know, that felt a little too heavy.
We're not
for us
about that right now.
No. You're going to have to be a patron if we're going to do a breakdown of like a 12-issue series. But I will say, I couldn't resist when I saw this pop up, and I took one look at this and I was like, I'm doing this. I don't even care what's in it. And I'm so glad I did, because look, Halloween, yeah, it's about scariness. It's about spookiness. Like me, like I said, I grew up trying to be Freddy, trying to be Jason, trying to be scary. But at the end of the day, Halloween's really about having fun. And this shit was fun, Remzo. What do you think?
I enjoyed it. You know, this is the type of stuff that I remember collecting in back issues at my old local comic book shop and everything. And, you know, like I said, it's very Simpsons Treehouse of Horror-ish. I mean, that's my childhood right there. So really, gotta get to see something like that. It's stupid. It's silly. It's everything a good old fashioned comic, especially for holiday theme stuff. I feel like the holiday theme comics tend to get pushed to the side. I've collected, you know, DC horror one shots and stuff over the years, and they're not as fun and endearing as this. So, you know, I'm glad you picked this one out.
I am glad into indeed. So that being said, I guess we gotta grade this, Remzo. So. What's your philosophy on grading when it comes to sort of a story like this, that it's hard to grade it in the way you might grade a normal comic, although maybe you can apply your usual metrics as you do, and we'll see how it plays out.
Well, let's go ahead and jump from the top level down a little bit. First off, is this good for new readers and for old readers alike? Absolutely. If you don't know much about Superman, doesn't matter. If you've known him for years, you'll like it even more. So it goes ahead and gets top scores for that. Secondly, I'm not going to go ahead and compare this to something from, let's say, comic books today. I'm going to compare this to other Silver Age era comics. And I'm talking about tone, story, artwork. The artwork is fine. The artwork is average for the Silver Age. I'm going to go ahead and give the artwork, I'll give it a 4 because I like how it's done. I like how everything is done. I like how the rendering is. It's a little bit more of that Silver Age charm where it lacks detail in certain areas, but it makes sure that the characters are really, you know, emoting. So I'll go ahead and give it a 4, and I'll go ahead and give the story a 4 as well. It was very predictable. When I picked this up on the app, I could pretty much tell where this was going. So it was very predictable. It's very not serious, I think, because it doesn't need to be. So I'm going to go ahead and give this a 4 as well. So this goes ahead and gets a score of 8 out of 10. It's a good Silver Age story.
And Remzo, sometimes we're way out of sync, but sometimes we are locked in. And this is one of those times. I think the art is actually very good for Silver Age. Like you said, it's kind of like standard Silver Age art in a way. Like in the Silver Age, you weren't going to get artists doing the kind of things that, like, say, a Rob Liefeld or a Todd McFarlane would do later with these sort of big. I mean, this is what comic art was at the time. And for that, I think it's very good. I think I would actually put it, I think on the Silver Age curve, you know, you have to, I think I would put this in the higher end of things. So that's why I give the art a 4 as well. And like you said, I think the only reason I can't go crazy on the writing and give it like a 4.5 or a 5 is because, yeah, like you said, it is predictable. It's pretty obvious where this is all going. It's pretty obvious what's going on here if you know anything about the Superman mythos. But at the end of the day, it's self-contained. It's harmless. It's fun. How much fun do we have reading this and recapping this, even if it, you know, there was a slight tangent about Jesus being an alien along the way? And I wouldn't even call that a tangent. This whole Superman is about a Christ-like alien coming to save the Earth. So anyway, whatever. We can do a whole meta analysis.
You've gotten very meta about this.
I am going to have Chris Knowles back on to talk about his new book pretty soon. So we might get into just some of this stuff, by the way. That being said, yeah, I'm also going to give the writing a 4. I think the writing is about as good as you can get for a non-serious story like this without, but it's missing that extra step. There could have been a twist here that made this even more interesting. Maybe, you know, the fact that it was predictable, fun yet predictable. And there's nothing wrong with fun yet predictable, but there's a cap on how high we can go with that. So I'm going to also give it a 4. So that's an 8 for both of us, which I would say is still a pretty good damn score. It's definitely a recommend. So I
would definitely say for Halloween, put this on your list of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, if you have the app, for sure. I don't know if it's worth, you know, hunting through every bargain basement bin just to find this one. It's not necessarily a hidden gem, and you can read half of it by watching this show on the YouTube right now anyway. So we're going to see how that all plays out. We're going to talk with our legal counsel and whatnot. And until then, we're just going to let it fly. But if you enjoyed this format, if you enjoyed if you're listening on the podcast, by the way, we do YouTube now. Now, we had just the podcast version for years. YouTube is fairly new. It's fairly small. We're trying to grow it. We can grow it with your help. So even if you don't watch the YouTube, we do appreciate it if you just take a minute out of your day to head over to YouTube, type Second Print Comics Podcast. Just go toss us a subscribe, like a few videos, leave a few comments, because it takes a little bit to get a YouTube off the ground. And we were pretty much quiet on YouTube for years. So we are scraping and clawing away, so to speak. But maybe this new interactive format will just take things to a new level, Remzo. I guess
a whole new world.
But in the meantime, Remzo, you want to tell them a little bit more? I plugged it briefly about what they can find if they do love this show enough to donate a little bit to us, a little bit, a $5, a $15, a whatever. There's so many options for him. So tell them all about it.
Hey, I'm about to go out this weekend and pick up some hardcover graphic novels for our epic crossover level patrons. They go ahead and we got to do a Zoom call this month. So people at $15 or higher, we will remember to do the Zoom call this month. You get all the exclusive shows. I'm going to go pick up some hardcover graphic novels. You go ahead and get that in your inbox every couple of months. You know, we've got Jeffrey and we got Eric who are producing episodes. They were on the draft with us last week, giving me crap about my Deacon Frost pick. Watch me still win. He's like the Zach Wilson of this whole thing. Everyone is like, trade him. You wanted Rodgers, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? He's going to Wilson this whole thing, and the Jets are going to be not so absolutely terrible.
Watch it. My Jeff Johns is going to like break his Aaron Rodgers. He's going to break his wrist or something. Not going to be able to write for me.
We got to figure out who the Brett Favre of this whole thing is.
If Alan Moore comes out of retirement to rock some books for me, that's a Brett Favre.
That's a Brett Favre move. All right, folks.
Ain't no fucking Brett Favre. Ain't no watching no fucking Cockney football.
He's the Superman of the NFL.
You know who
does
a great Alan Moore, actually? On Rob Liefeld's latest podcast, he does great impressions of, as you know, we love his Todd. He does a pretty good Alan Moore, too, on the latest episode, all about Todd McFarlane's lawsuits. That he does a great Alan Moore if you dig deep into that one.
Oh, I got to listen to that.
Free plug for you, Rob. Don't worry.
He sent me 2 issues of Science Snake Eyes. I'm still waiting for Blood Crew. Still waiting for Blood Crew or whatever that last Kickstarter he never sent stuff out for was. Goodbye, $75. But, anyway, all that and more, patreon.com/secondprintpods.
And just a plethora of shows. I've got, as I've mentioned before, I am rejuvenated in some ways because I have retrieved all of my old comics from my the vault in Connecticut. It is now here with me in Florida, and I'm going through it. I'm doing some things with my collection. Like I said, I'm rebuilding out my Savage Dragon collection. I'm collecting some of Alan Moore's Supreme. I had some of his run. Now I'm filling in the gaps there. I'm filling in some gaps of things I've always wanted to collect, and a lot of these things are not available digitally. Alan Moore, I think there's some contention over rights. I don't know what it is, but these issues are not available digitally. So the only way to get them is to get them and to read them. So I think stuff like that, I'm going to make that Patreon exclusives where I'm reading issues that you just can't find digitally, which is kind of rare nowadays. A lot, I think we take for granted now, like it's so easy to find a lot of issues, look them up on a DC, whatever app. But a lot of this stuff, especially some stuff where there was some contentiousness about rights. Another one is Neil Gaiman's issue of Spawn. You cannot find that digitally, but I have that in my collection because there's a rights dispute about that stuff. So that's the kind of stuff I'm going to try to do more of on the Patreon, where I'm going to dive into some sort of quirkier stuff that, unless you got the physical comic in the 90s or have just bought it on eBay like I'm doing to fill some of the gaps, you're just not going to find them anywhere else. So that's something you can also find, again, at patreon.com/secondprintpod. That's all I got, Remzo.
And that's all she wrote, folks. As always, if there's one thing to remember, it's short, it's sweet, it's to the point. Read comics and change the world. Good night, America.
Adios. Totally.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.